Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, listen, Charisma Magazine was talking about the article talking about the national shift back in October 21st this year, when the First Nation people, which First Nation Indigenous people of America, went for the National Day of Prayer to pray at the Washington Monument, and they went there very specifically, even though not asked, they were going to forgive what man did to them, which was a lie. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever studied the Trail of Tears and President Andrew Jackson and all the different things that just happened. And it was one of those powerful moments, I think, when in Promise Keepers, when we had an Indian chief that came to one of the gatherings and said, you know, with broken treaties and all these different things, you know, forgiveness was given, and just God just broke out. It was a very powerful moment. But just read what took place there at the Washington Monument. So powerful and what followed.
Some prophetic voices believe the nation shifted spiritually October 21st, 2016, mm-hmm. on what may go down as one of the most important days in American history. Largely unnoticed, 1,000 Native American Indian tribes from the United States and Canada collectively forgave the United States government for breaking treaties with their ancestors during a public ceremony on the National Mall.
So they forgave for broken treaties.
Yeah.
Okay.
That our government made. Mm-hmm. The National Day of Prayer for First Nations held near the Washington Monument included intercessory petitions, proclamations, and declarations of forgiveness by leaders from all tribes, D.C. It's a fellowship of Christians representing 1,000 American Indians from the United States and Canada. Right. A full-blooded Yuchi Indian, Nigel Bigpond, coordinated the first-ever national prayer gathering of Native Americans in the nation's capital.
Wow.
First ever. The Native American has been a sleeping giant, Graham writes, actually.
He goes on to say, he says, the National American has been a sleeping giant.
Yes.
Billy Graham, Franklin Graham's been saying that. And, of course, Rick Joyner has said it as well, and others, the fact that, you know, that's one of the keys. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you go look at the top of the Capitol building, there's a statue on top of the Capitol building. So the highest point on the Capitol is a statue. You know who that statue is? It's of a Native American.
Yeah.
Because that's who was here. It was the Native Americans that helped the Pilgrims come. You had two different settlements. You had the Jamestown settlement, but you also had the Pilgrim settlement. Mm-hmm. And there was totally two different ways how that happened. And there was other people that came over to take advantage of folks, but the Pilgrims didn't. It was a very powerful time. We can't talk about that now, but the First Nation people were key to helping people survive when they made it to Plymouth Rock. So what else did they say about that?
Bigpond agrees that Native Americans have taken a good first step toward aiding national awakening by extending forgiveness to the nation.
Think about it.
National awakening.
National awakening. That is so powerful. Well, it just so happens that according to Salon, you know, one of the publications out there, the news publications, that probably unannounced to them, they didn't even know that was actually taking place, people came to the first, because they remember they were given forgiveness even though the fact that nobody asked.
Yeah.
Well, look what happened here. You're looking at all the different people standing, it looks like, in the places of those who did violate those treaties, that did violate the First Nation people, and they're asking forgiveness. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to read some of the subtitles because the audio is not too good on it, but you're going to see now this actually followed 2 months or less than 60 days after this event that took place on October 21st. Take a look.
Many of us, me particularly, are from the units that have hurt you over the many years. We came, we fought you, we took your land, we signed treaties that we broke, we stole minerals from your sacred hills, we blasted the faces of our presidents onto your sacred mountain. And we took still more land, and then we took your children, and then we tried to take your language, and we tried to eliminate your language that God gave you and that the Creator gave you. We didn't respect you. We polluted your earth. We've hurt you in so many ways. And we've come to say that we are sorry. We are at your service, and we beg for your forgiveness. And we're still a nation. We have a language to speak. We have preserved the caretaker of the hemisphere. We do not own the land. The land owned us.
Powerful. Well, wow. October 21st, there's nobody asking for forgiveness, but the first American people
are willing to give it.
Open their hearts and say, this is going to have to be dealt with, because they, Christians, they knew that God, somebody has to give forgiveness for things to break loose. And that's what they're saying. This could be the epicenter for transformation for the nation. Well, look, it wasn't even 40 days later, approximately, that that was taking place, where they're on their knees asking and repeating the sins of their fathers, talking about specifically what happened and asking for forgiveness, and they gave it. And another thing that it reminds me of too, it reminds me of the war cry that came out of Zion, Glory of Zion, Chuck Pierce's ministry, when he gave a prophetic word that God was shifting things. And we get back from this break, I want you to hear that, because it's so powerful and it totally lines up with what we just heard coming from the First Nation people. Because he says this war cry, it's going to break things, shift things, and we're going to have to shake ourselves out of what we've been stuck in for so long. But first, take a look at this break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. When you think of the CIA, you think mystery, espionage, the covert. Yet, when the CIA original headquarters building was completed in November 1961, etched into the wall of the main lobby are words from the Bible.
What?
Words from John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
CIA headquarters isn't the only government building with biblical or biblically related themes. A marble sculpture of Moses holding tablets of the Ten Commandments is part of the Supreme Court building. In the Library of Congress, statues of Moses and Paul represent religion, with an inscription from Micah 6:8. "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?"
The Bible, its impact and influence on America's history.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Nobody, nobody, nobody even comes close to comparing to Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn by his resurrection of those from the dead. Who shall declare his generation? He is one with us, but he's definitely beyond us. He's great in his nature. His nature is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is divine, he's unique, he's equal with God, he's one with the Father, he filleth all things, yet is not contained by all things. All things were made by him, of him and through him and to him are all things. He is before all things, by him does all things exist. He is God, he is man, he's as truly God as if he were not man, yet completely and perfectly man as if he were not God. He's a perfect man with no stain, no spot, no original sin, no actual sin. He was the perfect, blameless, sinless Son of God. He stands alone, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
When we heard that war cry, if you heard us before the break, we were showing you how First Nation people went October 21st mm-hmm. to the monument and forgave, even though nobody asked. But then we saw, like, 40 days later, where Salam was reporting that people showed up and said, we want to repent for the sins of our fathers. They got on their knees. They talked specifically about those sins. But as soon as they gave forgiveness, you heard that sound, and it reminded me of the prophetic word that was given by Chuck Pierce at Gloria Zion Ministries about where we're going and how this is prior to November the 8th. And this word's coming out specifically. And he's also, you heard him in the beginning of the program, Chuck Pierce, saying that, you know, people are going to say peace, peace, peace. There's not going to be a peace. There's going to be an uprising, because the sword of heaven is going to come and deal justice on the earth, which means this, that, you know, we're just basically imagine everybody being in a straitjacket and just people are just stuck. Well, God's about to get us unstuck. But let's go listen to that word again. Now we heard that sound coming from the First Nation people. Listen to the war cry. Embrace yourself, because it could shock you when this happens. It's kind of rowdy. It's prophetic. Take a look.
This election is not about a person. It's about a structure, just as if you were in an old wineskin, where one day too long, that wineskin routinizes around you, and it's like cement, and you can't get out of it. This election is not about a person, it's about breaking out of a structure. If we stay in the structure we're in one more season, it will be so routinized and so ordered around us that we cannot, as a nation, come out of it. Decree and vote for what will break you out of an old structure. I say there is a new anointing rising in my people, and from the new anointing, you will rise up and see the opportunities that I have for you. For right now, opportunities seem blocked, but I say to you, there is an uprising coming. There is an uprising coming. There is an uprising coming. It has been brewing underneath, but now you will see the uprising, saith the Lord. The Lord just said, if you knew how close you were to the revolution of change that is coming, you would not be able to keep your mouth shut one moment. The Lord said, do not hold your peace from this day forward for the next 5 months. You will hear peace, peace, but there is no peace. The Lord says, the sword of heaven is coming to liberate the ground, and my people must have the sound that liberates the ground. And I will blow a wind. I will come from both sides of this land with a wind that will cause what couldn't stand to fall. I say to you, the winds are now circling from heaven and will now surround the lands of the earth. I say to you, welcome the winds in, for the change and the revolution of change is now at hand.
It's so powerful when, you know, you're seeing these things fulfilled, and you heard that forgiveness that came from the First Nation folks, And it's about a breakout candidate, really, when the people, what they're doing. You're looking at this breakout president-elect Donald Trump. I mean, he is so outside the box. The Lord told me specifically that Washington, D.C. is a house of cards, which means what it's built on is just all flimsy. God showed Brett Holderbaum that the wind of God was going to come through there and basically just deal with all these strongholds and monuments that men have set up. And others that God has shown prophetically that it's going to be like a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. And so things are really just beginning. And it's with new technology, it's allowing President-elect Donald Trump just to step past the gatekeepers who used to control the message. And he has millions of people on his Twitter. So the new president-elect can actually just go boom, boom, boom. And he talks to millions of folks. I mean, we're going around the world because of technology. And old media, you know, which God has shown me is being minimalized because of new technology. And they're just fighting for their last piece of territory. But so is, you know, the governmental situation.
Yeah.
And God said this. He said that the reason why the world's government stuck is because the church's government stuck. We won't move into the next realm of what he's saying, which would be biblical government, the thing that's taking place there. So we're looking over and over again. It's like, this is exciting when you're seeing these things line up, right?
It's the year of the wind.
That's the very thing
of the prophetic word that was shared by, I believe, Brother Kilpatrick at Church of His Presence, because you're saying, you know, we're seeing so many things changing and shifting, and now you're hearing Chuck Pierce say that, the wind, and we're just seeing so many things all of a sudden change from what we thought it always had to be, and it's just like, God is in control, and just watch what God is doing.
Yeah, the wind of God, we got a whole new understanding with the wind of God. You're watching people's minds being blown around, people's strategies and schemes were being blown around. Media was being blown around, and their minds were being blown.
I thought I knew what was going to happen, but you realize they don't know anything that's going to happen.
And from what I understand, even President-elect Donald Trump's mind was blown when he found out how it all turned out. It's like God's doing something here. And one prophetic word that was given, I forget who gave this word, we had it on VFN TV, but that at an early age, he had prayed a prayer, and God heard his prayer and been blessing him in certain areas. You know, a lot of people look at folks, and I think about this. I think about Jesus talking to us about how he sees things. And he saw one man that knew he was a sinner. He knew that he had all these issues. And he falls to his knees when he's going towards the temple, and he beats his chest. And he goes, I'm not even worthy to go there. And this other man walks beside him and says, he's a religious person, and he goes, oh, I am so glad I'm not like that man that's down on his knees beating his chest that he's a sinner. We know it. And Jesus says, which one of these is going to be forgiven? You know, every one of us needs God. But I think the biggest issue in America is the guy standing up. That's our issue, because we all need God. And when we all need God, and all of a sudden we may be one way one moment, that God can just turn us around, save us, forgive us, and just bring us into a whole new land. As a matter of fact, you can find out about our stories, how we met God, our Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, at meetmyfather.org. It's a very awesome thing, because all of a sudden life has meaning and purpose, and you can find out about our stories, and you can meet Him too.
We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Nobody has accused the atheist of implicitly being a bad person. The question is there any rationally impelling force to it? And the answer is no. You cannot make a rationally deduced argument for this. You can make a pragmatically deduced argument for this, but that's the first problem they have. The second problem they have is this. What is good? Is it good to abort? Is it good to demean marriage? Is it good to commit adultery? Is it good to lie? The atheists seem to think, when you move away from the theistic framework, that you can still be good without having God. There are at least seven different humanistic positions that arrive at ways of being good for different reasons and with a different catalog of good.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi, Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What a powerful event.
Yes.
You know, Lou Engle was talking about that. And the thing is that, you know, at that time in the church, men were trying to, first of all, they started acknowledging men.
Yeah.
Which was a new thing at that time in the church that there's men. And that, you know, men began to talk about the seven promises, the promise keepers. Paul Dugard from Denmark said it that way. And Coach McCartney began to, you know, wrote this book, Seven Promises of the Promise Keepers. This is a history lesson for those today probably don't even know about that.
Yeah.
And there were seven distinct promises that John will read off to you in a moment. No messing with you. And that these men would get together in small groups, and that's where we begin to build small men's groups that would hold each other accountable to these promises.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, imagine now different churches began to have these small men's groups, and one church may have like 10 groups, for example.
Sure.
And then there was this a stand in the gap. God looks for a man, as the Word of God says in Ezekiel, to stand in the gap so they don't have to destroy the land. The interesting thing was, the concern was, President Bill Clinton was president then, and they felt like, the church felt like at that time, that if we don't repent, then God's going to take this nation down. And that's actually his wife, by the way, that people don't, younger people don't even know that. That's her husband was president, and now his wife is running for president now. I guess, yeah, she's running, right?
Yeah.
Running for president. And so we were actually on, I mean, look at, can you see this picture? Just take a look at this picture. This is the mall right there. Oh, now you're seeing the Capitol building up front right here, but you see there's an arrow up close up front up there.
I don't know who doctored all that.
Well, that's actually Pat and I, because we knew we needed to be there on our faces before the Lord. But now look, way back by the Washington Monument, there's an arrow pointing right down there. You see this guy with no hair right there, but arrow's pointing at? That's John. Back there. Now your hotel was like right next.
Yeah. But I allowed you to go ahead.
Go ahead. You didn't even see us.
And I was actually with my small men's group. So we, you know, I had some people in my group. I wanted to stay with my group.
So y'all still were not spirit led. I mean, how did y'all not get to this? We were in the basement. We were in Jezebel's basement.
Lord.
Maryland. No, I'm just joking. You know, I'm just joking. We love you. Anyway, so
it's the Father's
heart. No, so we had a great place to be able to stay there, and this man, a husband, was there, and they gave us a place to stay, and it was in Maryland.
Yes.
And so Pat, you know, he was new in the Lord. He squeaked when he walked back then. He didn't have gray hair, and he wasn't as thin as he is now. Pray for him. Send him some bread.
Wow.
Some fatty foods. Anyway, so we're sitting here with this guy at his coffee table, and his other part was upstairs, right? And he was concerned. He didn't want to make any noise or upset this particular lady, wife, I guess. I guess this was his wife. And so we didn't understand that at the particular time. And so he's whispering to us. And he's just saying, I understand. It's the Father's heart. I'm telling you. If Pat was here, I mean, he would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He's just whispering. It's the Father's heart. You know, I'm watching him. He's looking at me. I'm watching this man. He's looking at me. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're right. It's God's heart, the Father's heart. Right? He's whispering because he don't want to wake up someone who thinks it's actually the mother's heart. Anyway, so I was like, you're right. The anointing was just so strong, right? And so I look over at Pat because I knew that he was going to be taking notes for something important, right?
What was he doing?
Well, I looked around, and he was sitting there with a piece of pizza in his mouth.
He was eating pizza.
He was not even only eating pizza, but he was smacking with a piece of pizza. He was holding it like this, just going, I'm like, dude, it's the Father's heart. He's like,
He's like,
wow.
He cannot make it past 6 p.m. He gets really sleepy after 6 p.m. But that was early on before
But back to the Promise Keepers event.
Yes, the Promise Keepers.
You know, so well, a million men came from all over the country.
More than a million.
Yeah, but all over the country, which is pretty amazing.
There was, listen, this is what was happening. There are so many things happened. We got to talk about fully in another program. But we were coming from Maryland. We stayed in Maryland. You stayed next door to the event. And you see where we are in that arrow and where you were, you know, is.
Wow.
And
you guys are so humble about that. It's just. That's not, I like that.
It's
like
important. That. You know, if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat
it
again. But it was so powerful because all these men, and we looked around, we noticed some of the men, these are men from all over the country, and there's nothing more beautiful than a humble, godly man who's willing to bury his face in the dirt and say, God, I've sinned. And they were, all of us were bowing our faces and just saying, God, forgive us of our sin. Mm. But this is the song that was sung. It just radiated throughout of Washington and the museums and all through the subways. Like, Jesus, make a man out of me. A man of the spirit. Mm. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 8. That's what Frederick was talking about. That it's you can't do this in your own strength. I don't care how much weight you lift. I don't care how much protein drink you drink. I don't care how many degrees you have to your name. The only way that you can be less and less sinful is to follow the spirit of God. Sin is dealt with on the cross, but we're obligated, like Frederick said, to finish the work. And Jesus finishes that by us following his spirit. I want to pray with you right now. You know, maybe you want to make a decision for Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out, you know, our testimonies about meeting him. And you can meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. But maybe you want to get involved. Contact us and let us know. I want to pray for you right now. Get committed. Quit living with this thing that you want to get rid of. God has an empowerment for you to be able to get rid of that, to finish the work. If we want the nation to turn, you're going to have to turn. The church has got to turn. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what Frederick is saying. We thank you for Coach McCartney and what happened in 1997. We thank you for Lou Engle and what's taking place even now. Lord God, we just pray that you would, we thank you for your finished work on the cross. We place our complete trust in your finished work, totally and completely, Lord. And we just say, lead us by your spirit. Jesus, make men of us, men and women, Lord, men of your spirit, women of your spirit, men of our word, God, we just pray. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless and thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can follow us online at vfntv.com. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.